We're in this series on prayer, and I'm wondering tonight, is there anyone who would say that prayer for you has always worked exactly the way you thought it would or the way you wanted it to? Is there anybody here who would probably be able to say that? I can't imagine there being anyone. And today we're going to look at the topic of prayer problems. And let's just say prayer really might be a problem for any number of reasons. Here's an example, a young man who was really having a very terrible year. He'd lost his job. He was forced to take out a second mortgage on his home. And he seemed to be just spiraling further and further into credit card debt. His terrible financial condition drove him into this deep depression. It wasn't long before his social life was in shambles. And at such a young age, the man felt that really his future was hopeless and that the world, if anything was going to happen, he needed a miracle to help him be able to get out of this hole. Well, with nowhere else to turn, the young man finally decided to do the one thing that he hadn't tried yet. Can you guess what that was? Pray. He hadn't prayed yet. And so he drove his car back to his childhood church and found a spot in the back row of the church and got down on his knees and prayed. And here was his prayer. Dear God, please help me win the lottery. I need the money, so help me win. Well, he waited several days and nothing happened. He didn't win the lottery, and so he returned to the church and he prayed again. Dear God, I'm not sure if you received my last prayer, but I really need your help to win the lottery. Please help me out here. Well, again, he waited several more days with no results, and so he returned to the church again. God, I've asked you twice already, and it really seems like you aren't listening to me. I asked you to help me win the lottery, and I still haven't won. Are you even listening to me? Now, what happened next shocked the man because he actually heard a voice. And perhaps the clouds parted that day and God spoke to him from above, or maybe a pastor just overheard his prayer and decided to chime in. But the answer the young man heard that day clearly was, well, if you want to win the lottery, could you at least help me out and buy a lottery ticket? See, there can be problems with prayer. We're in a 7-week study of the subject of prayer. And today we've arrived at a topic really that I've almost somewhat dreaded, but at the same time, I've even looked forward to maybe the most, and that is that issue of prayer problems. Now, prayer is such a vital key to our relationship with God, and yet sometimes from a human perspective, it can be so frustrating in how it all happens. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I had been in Wisconsin for my niece's wedding. And wouldn't you know that they had the warmest weather of the entire summer, the third week of September? It was an unusually cool summer, which affected how the corn was developing and ripening. And so my niece, who is getting married, is a dairy farmer. She'd actually been praying for some warmer weather to help the corn ripen. Well, it got warmer. 90 degrees and humid on September 23rd, which is not necessarily perfect weather for an outside wedding in Wisconsin. And I thought about her praying with that, and I kind of blamed Cosette for the hot weather because her prayers weren't really specific enough. She forgot to mention she'd like some cooler weather for her wedding. Well, I added that because I really wanted it to be a special day for Cosette and her husband to be, a day to remember, and not because people were passing out during the ceremony, but because it was a beautiful day. And so at the wedding rehearsal, I prayed, I asked God for a well-placed cloud to cover, you know, the ceremony during that time. And God did provide a cloud, but unfortunately for only about 5 minutes towards the end of the ceremony after we were already cooked. I mean, everybody's already hot. And I think about that. Here's two honest, sincere prayers. Why did God answer or not answer the way he did? Now, I'll admit that those were kind of two fairly inconsequential requests that didn't, you know, go the way we requested it, but it begs the question, why doesn't God answer our prayers the way we ask? And that, of course, leads us to another question. Why doesn't God especially answer the prayers of real consequence that we ask? Like, Lord, heal Mary of cancer. Or help my daughter's husband come to his senses and halt the divorce. Or Lord, don't let my son or daughter get mixed up in the wrong crowd. Have you ever noticed that when there's something serious, you pray and then sometimes things actually go from bad to worse? There are many ways that we could express the problem of prayer. Some people have expressed it this way. It feels kind of like a one-way conversation. You know, I talk and I don't know if God's even listening or not. Or it just doesn't seem to work. I try to pray and I'm not getting the things I'm asking for. Or it takes God too long to answer. I mean, I pray and it seems like I have to wait forever. Or God does what he wants anyway. And so when you come right down to it, if we don't like praying, it's likely because of maybe a number of things. One of them I would propose would be this. We don't like prayer because we aren't sure that it does any good. Now, we've seen some prayers answered, but we wonder if it really does any good. I remember when our son Blake was going through leukemia, he needed to have a stem cell transplant. And I remember praying that one of his two brothers would be a match. And we prayed so hopeful and with faith that one of them would be a match. And neither of them were a match. And I imagine that you've probably asked for some prayers that are truly heartfelt needs that maybe went unanswered, and it's caused you to question whether it does any good. Another reason maybe why we don't like praying is because we've actually heard testimonies about others' prayer. And there's no way our experience comes even close to matching what we've heard happen in other people's lives. People who've been miraculously and completely healed. Others who've had amazing financial provision. And some others types of divine intervention. And of course, I appreciate hearing about how God's provided miraculous answers to prayer. But if I'd be real honest with you, each time I do, there's a part of me that questions, well, why didn't he respond to my request with that same miraculous intervention? I think another reason why maybe we don't like praying is because we're kind of afraid that maybe God won't show. And it really has to do with those other things we've talked about. But this is when I begin to question what might happen to my faith if I put all of my trust and confidence in God and make a request and he doesn't come through like I think I need him to. And so I think, would it be just better to kind of hope that God is around or to find out that my faith has just been a fantasy and then realize I don't have anything to lean back on? And so, you know, as a result, sometimes I end up not offering any risky prayers because I don't have to worry about God not showing up. Well, the fact that prayer has problems, I think, is pretty widely acknowledged. And the problem that probably gets the most attention is the problem of just unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. Now, make sure you understand when I say unanswered prayer, I already know that no is an answer to prayer. But when we get a response like that, what it feels like is that our prayer went unanswered. So I'm kind of lumping all of those together. I recently read about 25 churches in one community that plan to come together at the county fairgrounds for a combined prayer service. I mean, it was a major undertaking. It had significant implications, but there was this genuine sense of anticipation how God was going to use this event. People prayed for months in advance of the service. Well, as you might imagine, one of their requests was for good weather. Wouldn't you know, that night, heavy storms passed through the area. And even though the more damaging storms missed them, they'd been praying for a little bit more than that. In fact, they had specifically asked for comfortable temperature and a light breeze. But you know what they got that night? A downpour. I mean, it rained cats and dogs. Are we open for one pun tonight? You know how they knew it rained cats and dogs? Somebody stepped in a poodle.
That was your one for the month.
That's not good. Okay. Okay, no more puns the rest of the month. But that's what they got, was this downpour. And when I look at that, I think, wow, why didn't God answer their prayer for this important community prayer service? But here's just what I know. Sooner or later, everyone who prays is going to experience some difficult times when God just seems hopelessly distant, or when the act of prayer just seems kind of futile, or when it seems as if God just is unwilling to answer our heartfelt requests. And it might be a time when you've been without a job for months and there's not one good lead in sight. Or the marriage that you've prayed about for years that it would be ideal has actually become an ordeal and now you're kind of looking for a new deal. Or the wayward son who's abandoned his faith since he left home and seems no more open to God today than he did 10 years ago when he graduated. Now, for all of that, I really wish that I had an answer, but I don't. Other than just to remind us that the purpose of prayer is not for God to please us, but for God to change us. And keep that in mind as we go on there. It's not to please us, it's to change us. Now, problem number two that we're going to look at tonight, when we think about unanswered prayer, obviously when God doesn't grant our sincere requests, we'd probably like to know why. And you know, why is one of those questions that pops up from the time we are young. And there's a great quote in your sermon notes there. It says, between the two questions, does God answer prayer and will God answer my specific prayer requests, lies a great pool of mystery. Because God answers some prayers, but he doesn't answer others. I mean, wouldn't you like to know why God answers some prayers by providing exactly what is requested, while other prayers seem to produce seemingly no response? Now, I do want to let you know, when it comes to the why questions, why our prayer went unanswered, we do know that there are some things that can hinder our prayers. In fact, here's what the Bible says impedes our prayers or hinders our prayers. The first one, I would say, is a wrong direction for our lives. A wrong direction for our lives. Now, when we're hurting or when we're in great need, it can be difficult to consider that the possibility that our actions or our attitudes may actually be hindering our prayers. But you know, that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Now, before a person can become a Christ follower, the Bible says that we need to repent. And what that means literally is to choose to change the direction of our life. We've been going our own way, and the word repentance literally means making a U-turn. And so we decide that we're going to start moving in God's direction. Now, that obviously doesn't mean that we will always be perfect, but it does mean that we've made a choice to follow after Christ. Now, if there ever comes a point where we decide that now we want to go off on our own direction again, we probably shouldn't expect God to be as responsive to our requests, because the way we are living is probably speaking louder than our prayers. See, we might be praying on the outside, hallowed be thy name, and yet our life says, no, my name be respected. We might pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, even as our life shouts, no, my authority be established, my desires be gratified. We might pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, while as life, our life says, hey, I want those who wronged me to pay and to pay dearly. We can pray, lead us not into temptation, while at the same moment our life is saying, lead me into temptation as quickly as possible. And if we're not careful, our wrong direction is going to hinder our prayers. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Bible says this, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. So it's not a matter of what God can do, nor is his ear too dull to hear. So it's not a fact that he's hard of hearing. He says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Fortunately, I want you to know that for us, God is not someone who harbors or holds on to grudges. And when you and I, whenever we seek to really to get our hearts right with him, he is quick to forgive and quick to restore relationship. All that's required is for us to repent and make following Christ our priority again. Now, there's another thing that the Bible says impedes our prayers, and that is a wrong motive. If we're praying with the wrong motive. In James chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you can spend what you get on your own pleasures. Remember that prayer is not about a God pleasing us, but about changing us. And see, unfortunately, in a way for us, nothing is hidden from God's awareness. That means when we ask for anything and we have some ulterior motives that we've kind of attempted to hide, God is always going to see right through that. You know, there's a third thing that will hinder our prayers, and that is wrong relationships. Wrong relationships. You know, of course, that the Bible's clear that our vertical relationship with God is intended to have significant impact on our horizontal relationships with others. The reason we know that for sure is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Notice what it says. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates his brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. He's saying that our relationship with him is to affect our relationship with others. Now, let me get real serious with any of the guys here tonight who are husbands. You talk about how wrong relationships can hinder your prayers. Guys, the way you are loving and caring for your wife can make a difference in your prayers. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. If you need two wives, you can elbow your husband right now. No, don't do that. And treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, ladies, I just want to mention, don't get hung up on the weaker partner thing. What he's really talking about there is if you were to sit down and do an arm wrestle, most of the time, not every case, but most of the time, the husbands would win. Okay, so just kind of leave that there. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, when it comes to prayer, that verse always causes me to pause a little bit and kind of evaluate, hey, how have I been doing in my relationship with Diane? How have I been treating her? I don't want anything to hinder my prayers. Now, those are some of the things that we know the Bible says impedes our prayers. But I also want us to recognize that there are some things that we don't know about when our prayers go unanswered. And that we will maybe find out later, but at the moment we may not know. And one of those would be God's ultimate plan and purpose. Because God has something in mind maybe that he's working out, and we don't completely understand that. In the Bible, the God is described as the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What that means is God knows what the totality of really the world looks like, and so he knows what's like at the beginning and the end. And whether we realize it or not, there's probably a lot of things going on behind the scenes that God is putting together that may be affecting the answer to our prayers. I think one of the best examples of that would have to be Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember, he experienced human trafficking by his own family when he was sold as a slave into Egypt. And if that wasn't bad enough, he then, after that, spent a number of years in prison for a crime that he never committed. Now, I bet he had a lot of conversations with God. He had years to spend in prison and say, hey, God, where is this going? What's happening here? But eventually Joseph came to understand why God had seemed so silent for so long when he discovered that these were the very circumstances that allowed him eventually to be able to save thousands of lives and also become second in command in all of Egypt. And after Joseph's father dies, his brothers are kind of afraid that maybe Joseph's going to retaliate against him. And so they come and say, hey, you better be nice to us. But by this time, Joseph already understood what was taking place. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 2, here's what the Bible says that Joseph said. He said, hey, guys, you intended to harm me. He said, I know what your motives were. I knew what you were trying to do. He says, but you know what? God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And so sometimes when we pray and something's not happening, it's because God has a bigger plan and purpose for us. A number of years ago when I was pastoring another church, we were doing a relocation and we needed to be able to sell our building in order to have the finances to be able to get that other property. But we were having a difficult time finding any church that wanted to buy our property. Well, one day I was at lunch with a friend of mine and he was sitting across the table from me. He had a Promise Keeper shirt on with the emblem. And a guy walking through the restaurant noticed his Promise Keeper emblem. So he kind of walked up and said, hey, I noticed your Promise Keepers. They had a little bit of a conversation. We asked him what he did. He said he was a pastor. Well, when I heard that, my ears perked up. I said, hey, your church wouldn't be interested in buying a church property, would you, if you're a pastor? He said, you know what? Actually, we are. We're in some rented space right now. It would be great for us to be able to find a church building. And I thought, isn't that amazing how God put that all together? You know, a month later, that whole thing fell through and nothing happened. And I thought to myself, God, what was that? I mean, that sounds like something that you would actually put together, and it fell apart. But here's how God used it. because of God's ultimate plan and purpose. 2 years later, we were actually ready to move to that property. That church did come back. They had grown in the meantime. Their financial position had gotten better, and they did end up buying the church. But I'll tell you, right at that point, I was like, wow, God, what on earth are you doing? Sometimes we don't understand God's ultimate plan and purpose. Secondly, sometimes we don't understand God's immediate plan and purpose. And what I'm talking about there is sometimes you and I are praying, God, get me out of this situation, when actually there's something that God wants you to get out of the situation. And so he's going to leave you in it because he's got a plan or a purpose in your life, how he's growing you, how he's developing you. I love the quote from Tim Keller in your notes. It says, if you say, I believed God, I trusted God, and I didn't come true, then you only trusted God to meet your agenda. And we all have to recognize that God has an agenda that he's working on too. And so that sometimes it's in the background happening when our prayers are not answered. There's a third problem with prayer that I want us to talk about tonight as well. And that's when we just think we have to do it right. We have to pray correctly instead of just showing up. Instead of just showing up. Many of us have probably been convinced at one time or another of our need to pray better or pray more. And when that happens, we'll make a promise to God that we'll improve. And then we go about, you know, trying to create an effective prayer life. We commit to getting serious about prayer, to show our devotion and our commitment. But when we attempt to try harder, usually what happens is what happened before. We kind of end up hitting a wall. We're saying, hey, you know, we're going to spend an hour in prayer. And so we sit down, but after the first 5 or 10 minutes, we've said all we meant to say. We maybe worshiped all we knew how to worship, and we prayed for everybody we've known since third grade, and we're like, well, what do I do now? I've gotten through my whole list. And then, you know, that's when our minds begin to wander. Oh, I was supposed to be praying for an hour. And then that follows by the guilt that we usually have, and that guilt, and for again, pushes us to try harder. And still no more success than the first time around. See, I like how one person described it. They said, you know, eventually, if we're not careful, eventually prayer becomes the proverbial hot stove that the cat sat on. You know, he won't ever sit on a hot stove again, but he also won't sit on a cold stove either. And see, the very seriousness with which we take prayer becomes the reason we give up serious prayer. Because we think we have to do it perfect. We think we have to do it right. Because it's got to be right, otherwise God's not going to answer. And because of that, we don't trust that we can do it right, and so we end up not doing it at all, or at least not very much. Do you remember when Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray? I think they expected a lot more instruction than they got. You remember what they got? I imagine their surprise when Jesus gave them this very short and just simple to-the-point prayer. That's really one of the reasons why, you know, in this series I've encouraged you to try to pray more but say less. You don't have to say a lot, just pray more. Now, I actually heard of a guy whose close friend asked him to help him with his poor prayer life. And he was looking for someone who could teach him the techniques and the methodologies of prayer that would turn him into a prayer warrior. Amazingly, he was told to only set aside 5 minutes a day for prayer. Now, I was kind of disappointed when I heard that, because last week I asked you to set aside 10 minutes for prayer. This guy's trying to cut that in half. 5 minutes a day in prayer. But not only that, but he was also told that he wouldn't have to do it on Saturday because God would probably want a break. And he didn't have to do it on Sunday because going to church would be sufficient for that. Well, when asked what he was supposed to do in those 5 minutes, he was told, do whatever you want to do. Just take 5 minutes and show up. He was told, you know what, you can dance or laugh or tell God jokes if you want to. You can cry or you can complain if you need to. God will just be glad to see you. And do you know what happened? It changed this man's prayer life. He found that his time with God became one of the best parts of the day. He also found that his prayer time increased naturally as he began to look forward to this time that he spent with his Heavenly Father. That's why I just want to encourage you today. Don't worry about doing it right or doing it perfect. Just do it. Just show up and enjoy being with your Heavenly Father. Because, folks, prayer is not a fixed formula. Such as, you know, get your life in order, say the right words, and the desired results are going to come. Because if that were true, You know, Job would have been able to avoid a lot of suffering. If that was true, Paul's thorn in the flesh would have been removed. Literally, if that was true, Jesus would have never have had to go to the cross. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you remember I challenged you to read a psalm a day through the month of October. If you didn't get one of those reading lists, they're available out of the Connection Center. You can just jump in anytime and do it. But I wanted you to read them because these are real people writing their real prayers to God. And if you've been following the plan, then you probably noticed that the writers are expressing how difficult their life situations were and how it seems that sometimes their prayers aren't getting anywhere. They're falling on deaf ears. Well, one of the psalms that we could have included, but I didn't, was Psalm 13, and that's where we're going to look tonight. So if you marked in your Bible Psalm 13, if you go ahead and open it up to Psalm 13, I just want you to see how simple prayer can be. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. Here's this guy's prayer that's been recorded for us. And when you read it or when you see it, think about the emotion going along with what he's saying. Because he starts out and says, how long, Lord? I mean, how long? Will you forget me forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, I don't think you have to read between the lines too much to think that, you know, he's a guy thinking it's taking God too long. He's so much so that he feels forgotten, even as if God's been hiding from him. He's got all this mental anguish, this heartfelt sadness, this discouraging defeat that's over him. He goes on and says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Now, if you have your Bible, if you look up at the top of it, who does it say who's the writer of this psalm? It's King David. You know who King David is? That's the guy that God used to kill the giant Goliath. I mean, he had some great victories with God, and here he is. He's saying, God, where are you? He's been struggling with the prayer problem. But what I want you to notice is that his prayer problem doesn't keep him from trusting God, because I want you to notice where he finally lands this plane. Because he says all of that, but then he ends with this. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So I just want to say, it doesn't matter if you start your prayer sometimes with, how long, Lord? How long is this going to be going on? Just make sure you end them up with, but I trust. But I trust. I want to give you a takeaway so that this week you can just kind of think about as you're praying, just some ideas to carry with you. And here's what I would say. Three simple things. Folks, keep it short. Jesus was pretty clear. God doesn't like long babbling prayers. Just keep it short. Tell him what you need and then move on. Secondly, keep it honest. If you're struggling, make sure you let God know. Tell him how it is. But finally, just keep it going. Don't let your problem with prayer cause you to quit or give up or stop. Keep it short. Keep it honest. And then keep it going. You know, the only real solution to prayer problems is kind of what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, for now we see through a glass, darkly or dimly. In other words, I can't see very well. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, so I can't see the whole. But then I shall know even as I am known. You know, there's no human being, no matter how wise or how spiritual they are, that can interpret the ways of God, explaining why one miraculous answer to prayer is given, but not another. Why an apparent intervention happens here, but not there. Because, you know, along with the Apostle Paul, we can only wait sometimes and trust and then keep it short, keep it honest, and just keep it going. Let's pray. Father, you already know the struggle that we have sometimes with prayer. Because we do want to get it right, because there are some things that we need. And we make our requests, and sometimes it just seems like it's taken you forever to answer, or we wonder if you're just really listening. Father, help us to have the faith that just trusts you regardless of how things go or what happens. And be able to believe that you're a God who someday is going to roll back the curtain and show us what you were planning, what you were preparing, what your purpose really is. And until then, God, help us have the courage to pray simply, to pray honestly, and to pray persistently. I ask for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.